Hi, this is Charles on democraticfundamentalism.org with the news in review. It's Sunday, November 3rd, 2002, about midnight Pacific Coast time. I think I have some very interesting stories for you this time about some issues you really care about and probably going to continue to be neglected. I'll talk a little bit about the imperatives of the elections on Tuesday, all the while George Bush and Bill Clinton and Al Gore have hit the campaign trails on behalf of their candidates. I think I've been able to piece together some stories to make the case for the real neglect by the Bush administration to the principles of this nation and the people of this country and its responsibilities to the people and nations in the rest of the world, too. Heck, I'll heap it on. Throw in a little bit of hypocrisy, too, to top it off. Got a quick little story about an evening I spent once with a woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize. The thing I love about powerful women is they always leave you wondering if you're really doing everything you can do for whatever you believe in. I love that kind of challenge. It sort of makes you wonder if you're a little inadequate sometimes, if you know what I mean. Got some entertainment news, too, about a new baby arriving in the world to some longtime favorite stars, and a story about the amazing Christopher Reeve. As I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything, because I don't have to make this stuff up. But that's it. Let's get into the news. Well, folks, you're getting out on the campaign trail. This is from CNN. President Bush opened a hectic Saturday in a three-day weekend of interstate stumping for GOP candidates with a rally near Nashville, Tennessee. Former President Bill Clinton, who seemed almost as busy campaigning as when he ran for office, went to Michigan Friday to promote the candidacy of Jennifer Granholm, who hopes to win election as that state's first female governor, as well as Democratic candidates for the House and Senate. Clinton praised the diversity of the state's Democratic candidates. He said, "It's an American ticket." Now, you know, what I find interesting is how George Bush is going around telling people that a vote for the candidates he's campaigning for is a vote for his administration's policies. And he trivializes discussions of political interest among citizens by calling it coffeehouse chatter. Seems like he'll do anything to minimize the feelings and opinions of Americans to cause them to blindly accept his rhetoric as the truth, you know, as like the way it is. So I thought I would bring you a few stories that tell a little more about what the Bush administration's policies really are. Keep in mind that as we go along and decide if we're facing hypocrisy ourselves. Remember, in the eyes of the world, the acts of our government reflect upon how we are viewed as individuals and as people. Ask yourself if these stories represent what you want to be known for and what your country to be known for. George Bush and company have been the ones identified as helping the common citizen with tax breaks that make little or no difference to the quality of life. Now stock analysts are excited because corporations are reporting higher profitability and think it's leading to a new surge in the market, and it very well might in the market because it will be an artificial rise, just like before. The profit increases are based on layoffs and depletions of inventories. It's not because of greater productivity. The corporations on paper may look better, but citizens are struggling to make ends meet. We simply call it hard times, but we fail to recognize that economic conditions are actually worse than in 1929, at the time of the stock market crash. That's the part that's being glossed over and ignored by the Bush administration. Remember, 60% of Americans live under or near the poverty line. Now ask yourself, is money getting tighter in your household? How secure do you feel about your job and your retirement? This story from the New York Times, it's about how job losses continued in October. The economy lost jobs in October for the second consecutive month, the government said yesterday in a sign that economic growth, after accelerating over the summer, has recently slowed to a crawl. The unemployment rate rose slightly last month to 5.7%, and the nation's payroll shrunk by 5,000 jobs, largely because of layoffs in manufacturing and construction. Companies also cut their workers' hours for the first time since July, suggesting that large-scale hiring is unlikely in the immediate future. One night I went to a banquet for a nonprofit organization committed to global poverty abatement, And they decided I was the appropriate person to sit next to and have discussions with someone named Betty Williams, who just happens to be the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in bringing peace to Northern Ireland. In addition, she's done an incredible amount of work in the area of securing children's rights around the world. I remember being incredibly moved by her stories of how she worked with Mr. and Mrs. Gorbachev to deliver toys and books to children in the Soviet Union who had never seen them before, to give shoes and clothing and medicine to children in many countries, as well as to find ways to be sure they were protected and cared for, regardless of the condition of their home life. What I found most interesting, though, was something she nearly insisted I should do, something she almost was disturbed about, the fact that there were no true publications devoted to telling people about the good and inspiring things that occur in the world. And I informed her of, numerous programs and publications I went about that attempted it, but died out as soon as a major international crisis occurred because people didn't give a lot of concern for the good things. They kind of took that for granted. They didn't worry about it. And what they concentrated on was their anxiety about the bad things. Then it takes them away from actually doing the good things they would want to do in order to give to other people. You know, she's not the kind of woman who takes no for an answer, and I ended up sort of sheepishly promising her to find a way to do it if I could. But then I see stories like this, as the U.S., my government, apparently disagrees with me and the rest of the world again. Headline on this one, the U.S. declines to sign the Children's Treaty. UN official urged the United States to ratify a treaty protecting the rights of children, an act he said would inspire the world to go the extra step for its youngest citizens. Jacob Doak, chairman of the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, called on the United States to join with 191 countries that have already signed the 1989 Convention on the Rights of the Child because it would really help the world. Well, let's see, entertainment news, something on a little brighter note. I'm still waiting to find a copy of Santana's Shaman CD. I'm really anxious to hear it, but I haven't been able to find a copy of it yet. Notice Elton John has new greatest hits collection out. That's from 1970 to 2002. Frankly, if I didn't already have everything he's ever done, I'd buy it. If you're looking for some good TV, don't forget Everwood on WB Monday nights at 9 p.m. It's a family show, but it's got great writing and storylines. I really like it. Here's something kind of neat. Sarah Jessica Parker of HBO's Sex and the City and her husband Matthew Broderick have had a child, 6-pound, 8-ounce son, last week. And they've decided to name him after Matthew's father. His son's name? James Wilk Broderick. Just for the fun of it, I thought I'd do a little 6 degrees of separation thing on Sarah Jessica Parker and the show Sex and the City. If you follow the show, and I generally do, that and The Sopranos and 6 Feet Under, anyway. On Sex and the City, there was this guy who was Sarah's boyfriend for a while named Aiden. Now, Aiden is John Corbett. He's an actor who played the disc jockey in a little town in Alaska, fictitiously known as Sicily, Alaska, on the TV show Northern Exposure. John Corbett is the star of the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which I highly recommend. Incidentally, he's also the voice of the GE Financial ads you see on TV from time to time. Just thought I'd mention it. Personally, I thought Matthew Broderick in Project X was a great movie, too. Anyway, moving on, as I do sometimes, finally. Getting to know Christopher Reeves. Well, he seems to be able to wrangle the celebrities pretty well. Actor Christopher Reeve knows how to get to fellow celebrities, it seems. As a consultant to the upcoming PBC series Freedom, he wanted well-known actors to provide voices for characters from American history. But if he went through managers, publicists, or agents, Reeve knew he'd get some brush-offs. So he wrote to the celebrities themselves. He assembled an impressive list, too. Jennifer Aniston, Michael Caine, Sean Connery, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, Kevin Spacey, Robin Williams, and many, many others. Reeve, he's 50 years old now. He wanted to participate because his half-brother, a teacher in rural Vermont, had such trouble interesting his students in history. The kids don't want to read, they don't want to write, and sometimes the kids and their parents get so upset because they have too much homework, he said on Thursday. The series narrator, Katie Couric, said she hoped the series would encourage children and their parents to talk about history. One of the actor voices, Susan Sarandon, had a surprise for Reeve. At a news conference at the Rainbow Room, she said the actors had donated their $1,000 fees to the Christopher Reeve Paralysis Foundation. The gifts were matched by corporate sponsors, so the foundation got a $100,000 check. Now see, that's the sort of thing Betty Williams would like to have heard. Good news, you know. Best news of all, though, how about a huge turnout at the polls on Tuesday? That would be the best news of all. Don't forget to remind your friends and family. Go ahead, be a pest. It's a worthy cause. They'll get over it. With all that, we'll call it a wrap. This is Charles, DemocraticFundamentalism.org. You have a great one.